Hi, you're listening to Glad Tidings. Today, we have Pastor Nick Lau sharing the word. We hope this message encourages you in your faith.
All right. Why don't we just stand together even as we read the passage for today. It's taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. Let's read it together, all right? 1, 2, 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it differently, diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, and your word will go forth before us, O God. And God, I pray that we will come with an open heart, an open mind, ready to receive from you. We thank you for all the great volunteers who have gone before us and who are continuing to serve in your kingdom, O God. Lord, I pray a prayer of blessing, even as they continue on to reach out and to enhance your kingdom. May you continue to use each and every one of us to enhance and to grow your kingdom. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And even this, in Romans chapter 12, we can firstly see, starting from the first two verses, Paul lays a foundation all about Christian living, urging the audience at that time to live a worthy life as a living sacrifice, that all believers, all of their being, their spirit, soul, flesh, and mind, to be surrendered to God. And God wants each and every one of us. God wants his people, not just the works. Amen? God is graceful, and God is just. And God wants his people to be transformed. And both the Jews and the pagans knew firsthand what sacrifice was all about. And when it talks about living sacrifice, it draws us to learn two things, all right? Firstly, a sacrifice is living because it is brought alive to the altar. And next is that the sacrifice living because it stays alive at the altar. And it's an ongoing process. So meaning when we come into a relationship with God, we are presenting ourselves at the altar, not to be slaughtered, but to be transformed. Stepping into relationship with God means an ongoing and constant transformation. Can I hear an amen? And focusing on God's word and to fellowship with him, to allow the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us, each and every one of his believers. We are his living sacrifice. We are His living sacrifice. Therefore, I would title my message today that we are all in this together because all of us as brothers and sisters are called to encourage one another, to stir one another as a family of God. So why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them, we're all in this together. We're all in this together, you and I, right? Those online, you can type in the chat as well. We're all in this together, you and I. All right, now it's a very, very important part, okay? Listen carefully. Husbands, tell your wives, we're in this together. We're in this together. Don't you love it when families come together serving alongside one another? Amen? Isn't it a joy to see parents coming together, serving in the house of God together with their children as well? And all of us, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to be in this together. And even as a couple, you know, husband and wives, you are in this together for the long term. All right? All of us are living sacrifices, and we do not compete against one another. We're coming in humble service, all of us together, united, using the gifts that God has given to us for the purposes to enhance and to grow His kingdom. Amen? And in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8, verses that we just read, describes the first responsibility of each and every one of us as believers who present ourselves as a living sacrifice to worship God. The church is a body. The church is the body, Christ's body. Amen? Each Christian has a part to play using the specific spiritual gifts God has given to us. And these gifts of grace provide us the power and ability to wherever that we need to serve each other as we serve God. We must still serve whether our gift is service, teaching, exhortation, mercy, or others as written in the scripture, right? All of us have the different gifts. All of us have different parts to play. And that brings me to my first point, which that all gifts are given by God. All gifts are given by God. And Paul writes in verses 3 to 5, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment." With sober judgment. In accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Can I just say this? No one has all the gifts. Amen? No one is a know-it-all and no one does it all. That is why we need one another. As believers, when we change our lives to having the mind of Christ, we should seek to be used by God for His purposes and to see the world through the lens of what He wants instead of what we want. Everyone has unique strengths and preferences. Some are passionate about venturing into the mission field, some into the community, right? How many of you have tried going to a mission trip before? How many of you are in a mission trip, right? How many of you have tried different community works before? All right. During the pandemic, I'm pretty sure some of you stepped in to the different flooding areas and to offer your services and help. Some of us are called in that area, but it is definitely not for everyone. Some who would like to, for myself, I've been to being part of the LCS committee. We go out every single Wednesday to the refugee sites and to offer our help, to teach teach basic English so that the children will have a basic form of education. And we have had some church members who followed us and they say, really, it is not for them, right? It's truly not for them because why? It is a very tiring ministry, right? So like some are okay with stepping out into the sun. Some are not so comfortable stepping into the sun or sweating for hours and, you know, whether the lunch is ready or not. Some want to eat lunch at a specific time, at a regular time, right? Some are in the ministry of hospitality. Some are in the ministry of getting to know one another. And as I've said, some people are called to venture out into the sun, out into the mission field. But some prefer to be within an indoor building. And that's okay. Because why? When you connect with one another, when you get to know one another, right? You are also doing what God has called you to do. Because not everyone has the time to sit down for many hours to get to know someone else. Yes, it may be, we may think that it's a comfortable ministry, but no, we are all in having unique gifts and preferences as well, right? So I would like to encourage you to use what God has given to each and every one of us, the different gifts, and God is the one giving that gift. And in verse 3, it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, with great humility, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each and every one of us. Paul writes that one of the ways that our minds must be transformed is in developing the ability to see ourselves accurately. That means sober judgment. That means seeing yourself in an objective eye. How many of us have gone to the shopping malls and buying clothes? And before you buy, what do? You try on first, right? And where do you go to try on? The fitting rooms. And sometimes fitting room mirrors are not exactly the way it seems. Because when you go back home, it's a whole new different story. Because you may look good in the fitting room because of the nice lighting, your body looks good, your dress looks good, and you think it's so nice, but when you get home, your husband or wife says, I don't know, I'm not married, but you will know, right? Why do you buy this? Your husband or wife may say, like, why do you buy this? You know, it doesn't suit you. But Paul here is writing that with sober judgment, to see ourselves objectively, with a realistic and humble view, not thinking highly of ourselves, and it's not about thinking that you're worthless. It is to avoid the distorted image that makes us feel overly important. Paul wants us to step away from those filtered mirrors, but to cause us to see ourselves as a big and powerful and important impact in the house of God. Amen? And it takes faith to see ourselves objectively in this way. Paul writes, why faith? Because when we see ourselves truthfully, we can trust God to use our unique gifts for the purposes of His church. And if we see ourselves as more significant, it hinders powerful things that what God is going to do and through us. So a balanced and honest view of ourselves opens the doors for God to work powerfully in and through us. So stepping back for myself, being involved in the many various ministries, I'm speaking from my own experience. How many of you are in Connect groups? Did you know that in Connect groups, that is where testimonies begin to form? Testimonies of lives being transformed day after day, week after week, when you come together to pray along and you see improvements, those itself are testimonies. And I believe that what God is doing in our church, God is still carrying out His work in His kingdom. Amen? GT is not just 60 years old, but GT is 60 years and ongoing. Amen? All these are lives and testimonies of what God is doing. And the mission field is so vast and so great. The amount of churches, the amount of outreaches and church plants that our church is supporting. And it is because of your generous hard work as well. All of us are putting our hands into the plow. All of us are digging our wells. All of us have been praying along and seeing lives being changed, lives are being touched. And even as the LCS, the social arm of the church, is reaching out in many various different ways as well. And all of us are called to different areas. All of us have gifts in different areas. And that brings me to my second point, which is to do your part and to do it well. To do your part and to do it well. As I've mentioned earlier, that not all of us can do, none of us can do all things. None of us can do everything. It takes each and every different gifts, each and every one of us to play our role, to play our part. And when you are doing that role, it is because God has given the burden in your heart. God has given you that burden to do what you do and do it well because God is in control. You need to know where and what your role is. Just as I have mentioned that the different ministries, we begin to recognize that all these are the different members of one body. Just like a body has many different limbs and organs, the church has various ministries as well. Paul emphasizes that in Christ, all these form one body. All these form one body. It is not the ministries that form the church. It is the church that form these ministries. It is the testimony, the gifts, and the burdened hearts of its members that build this body. These ministries are an expression of a collective spirit and the purpose of the church, illustrating that this is what the people are making up, the body of Christ, not just the individual activities. All of us are part of this body of Christ. Amen? All of us have a part to play. And all of us have a part to do it well. Paul describes of different functions in the body with the word gifts. In church, we usually call the spiritual gifts. These gifts are given to each and every believer that the Holy Spirit for our specific particular contribution to the church. Therefore, these gifts can be seen as supernatural capabilities, enabling us a specific function that is genuinely needed by our fellow members in the church, right? So earlier we read the scripture, and the first gift is what? Prophecy.
If this message has encouraged you or inspired you, we hope that you will take the next step and visit our website or follow us on social media to get connected. We have other messages and live gatherings that will bless your life. Now back to the Word.
And the Word says, let them prophesy according to their faith. Prophecy is a supernatural gift, right? Because why? According to the faith, when sometimes a member is in need, then the prophet will prophesy, right? And he speaks directly to the member in the time of need. Therefore, in serving, in teaching, showing hospitality, all these things are given by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and according to the right timing, as God has timed it and God willed it. Amen? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11, it says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills, as God wills. Paul makes a very distinct between the spiritual gifts and natural talents or abilities. Spiritual gifts are not just inherent skills. They are unique skills given by God, given by the Holy Spirit for specific purposes within the church. For instance, like I mentioned earlier, prophecy, all right? Members of the church is encouraged to an action that requires deep faith that the message is from God. And it is a task. It is for each and every one of us when we have the gift of God. It is for each and every one of us to be distinct in our gift for the different purposes and for the universal command, which is to use these things for the will of God. God has given all of us different burdens and in different areas as well. All right? Earlier, a few months ago, Pastor Gwen mentioned the baby, Naomi, right, who was brought in into Rumadrara. And it takes the faith of our Rumadrara home master, Cecilia, as well as Pastor Gwen, to take in that baby, to see and to give, do whatever that we can to help and to support this baby's life. And it takes all the different people of different giftings to support that as well. All right? Some of you may have the burden of cleanliness, right? Which is maybe as simple as cleaning the baby room because babies are prone to germs and viruses. So maybe God has given you that burden of service to clean a room, right? I'm just using it as an example. But God also has given some of us the generous heart as well to give generously, whether it's for the operation of the baby or to even give the contacts of doctors that you may know, right? So those are the different burdens that God has given to us. And these are also the testimonies of what takes great faith. And all of this is under one body. And we are doing it all for one body alone. And it is for God's kingdom. And it is the same for every single ministry that you may be involved in. In every ministry, there is a complexity that can be a bit hard to fully understand. Some of us may be hurt over the many years of being in the different ministries, maybe being hurt by others. But I want to encourage you to do your part and to do it well. Because at the end of the day, and that brings me to my next point, which is that we all have the same end goal. We all have the same end goal. And in verses 9 to 13, Paul writes, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love, honoring one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but to keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And it's when we are transformed and have the same goal in our mind, a genuine heartfelt love for one another naturally follows. All of us can tell the difference between genuine love and kindness compared to what is just doing a job. And serving in God's kingdom is never a job. Serving in God's kingdom is never a job. And there's no such thing as retirement or whatsoever. But all of us are called in service to encourage one another, to stir one another. And the word says here, never lack in zeal. Never lack in the passion or the burden that God has given to you, regardless of how long you have been serving in those ministries. Yes, sometimes it may be hurtful. For me, myself, I answered God's call at the age of 19. Being a new believer at the age of 17, I wanted to go into full-time ministry at the age of 19. And you know what is the first thing my dad told me? He said, being in church, working in church, is never easy. Being in church and working in church is never easy. Because why? Sometimes the hurts come from the leaders of the church themselves. But to each and every one of us, we have the grace of God. We will continue to forgive one another, being merciful to one another. So I want to encourage you, don't let go of that passion. Don't let go of that zeal, because why? God has placed that burden in your heart. And Paul here says to hate what is evil. Hate here is such a strong word, and it's equivalent to what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, that these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. It says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. Hate here is not directed to the people, but hate is directed to the sins. Hate what is evil, because sin is what brings harm to the innocent. And in the earlier part of the chapter, Paul emphasizes that as we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, we must undergo a transformation in our mind. This involves adopting God's perspective, loving what is good and hating what is evil. So even as we serve, we contribute in our own different ways. We need to recognize and see the world through the lens of God. See the need and meet those needs in wherever that God has placed those burdens in your heart. See the need and meet the need. You all of us have a part to play. And we are called to do it well. We are called to be all in this together, to spur one another, to encourage one another, to keep running that race. Amen? And because why? Our goal is one goal only, to serve God's kingdom. Our service should be marked with genuine love and kindness in what God is about to do and what God is accomplishing. God has accomplished great things in our church. in the testimonies, in the lives that you have heard. And God is still accomplishing greater things. Amen. We all have this goal in our mind to care for one another with that brotherly love. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you, no matter how long that you have served in the kingdom of God, keep fighting that race. Keep running that race, to run with passion, to run with zeal, and forgive one another. Yes, it may be difficult, it may be ugly, and especially if you have been in the church long enough, you have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. But God still wants to work in each and every one of our lives. I know some of us have been hurt. I personally have been hurt as well. But you know, when we have that mindset of having that same goal, that same end goal, we see a clearer picture. We see that the fire of God will still carry on in each and every one of our lives. When God called me into the ministry, I had the burden to see lives being changed, lives being transformed, and as the church come together as worthy living sacrifices. I want to see divorce rates going down. I want to see united families coming together, serving together, and to see the heart of God in His house of worship. I want to see all of us serving together with a drive, with a passion, with a fire. And we are called to be in this together, to give our all in this together. God has given all of us different gifts and different burdens. God has given a part to play, regardless of the hurts, regardless of what you have felt. Do your part, because God has given you that gift and that burden. And do it well, to carry forth that race, to carry that fire every single day, everywhere you go. It is not a job. It is a kingdom of God that we are serving. It is because God first loved us. Therefore, we can show and reflect those love to those around us. Practicing hospitality takes a whole load of patience, because not everyone understands. But when you renew your mind to the things of God, as living sacrifices, we are being transformed. And some other people are in the midst of that transformation process as well. All of us are work in progress. But we are the church. We are its members. And we create the body of Christ. Amen. Why don't we just stand together, even as we end with this song, even as the worship team leads us in this song of Here's My Life. Let this be a time of ministry, a time of reflection, that even as we stand together, we are the living sacrifice that God is working in each and every one of us. We are living, and we are work in progress. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Glad Tidings. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. If you would like weekly updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify. To find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless.